Yeah, Murray still break the out of that theory.
Spike scan initiated. I'm picking up a podcast arriving. Wait. Designation: Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We are the Bella Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined tonight by Tanya Gates.
Hi everybody.
Red Powell.
Hello.
And Adam Camilleri.
Hey, 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 hey. Play 40K every day.
Man, I feel like it's been a while since we heard that one.
Yeah,
they got to chuck it in every couple of months unannounced. Just that's how it goes.
I was seeing how far you're going to take it out.
I thought he was going to drag it out too. I was expecting. I was like, here comes a moment that Paul cuts about 10 seconds.
You will never know. We'll never know how long the haze will continue.
We'll keep it a mystery. How long were the haze?
How long were they? Yeah, they'll never know if you cut out like the whole middle section of it.
They won't. Look, I'll be honest. Sometimes I just bleep words you say and they actually aren't bad.
That's well, good. And as is tradition, I've gotten so good that at not swearing that I don't want to give the people the perception that I don't swear, because I want people to walk up to me in real life and be like, oh, wow. That is vastly different to how he presents.
In this episode, I want to talk about, well, a few things. We've had the AdMech FAQ come out that it's gonna change the world. Everything's gonna be cool. No, it actually is a meaningful update. But we'll get into what I like about it and get y'all's thoughts on it in just a minute. But it brought up a very interesting debate. I think maybe a discussion. Maybe debate's not the word, but discussion about what is core, and because the Iron Striders and the Dragoons lose the core keyword, which is important. But I've seen some people talk about, well, you know, it doesn't make any sense that they lost core while some other unit, and they were talking about Dreadnought specifically, but that's going to be something, you know, to discuss, continue to have the core keyword. And that actually got me thinking about the composition of armies and what should be core, what is considered core, or what in the mindset of those armies, what would they consider core?
I think this is a really good thing. I mean, core, if we wanted to talk about the most meaningful change from 7th to 8th, it was, of course, the strip back of all the crazy Decurion detachment, but it was the inclusion of command points and the change in how we constructed lists. And now I think the core keyword is one of the most meaningful changes we've seen from 8th to 9th. So I think this is a great thing to unpack.
And different, you know, us playing different armies and then a Red being in the army, you know, about what would be considered, you know, core of the army, right? I mean, so
yeah,
it's more of a concept than a game rule, but of course it translates in the game rule, and then the rules can't always just match the theme or whatever, you know, for balance and stuff. And so there's a lot of things to consider here, and some armies, like, did Necrons go too far with removal of the core, or non-inclusion of the core word? And do Marines go too far, or are they right on brand?
It's a great point. It's a great thing to discuss. And so I think we saw, if we want to cast our minds back to editions gone past, we've always had this kind of troops concept, this kind of mandatory, not quite attacked, but, you know, in some factions it can be, where you had to take a certain amount of XYZ in order to function.
You had to have at least your two troop slots, and sometimes three troop slots. And we've kind of, with the way that the flexibility in our detachments now, that is not so much a thing. So if you've only started playing in the last 2 years or so, you may feel like it's less of a tax or a burden, but it very much used to be considered a tax for some armies.
And if I'm putting myself in the design team's shoes, which is a lofty goal, you know, please forgive me if this is entirely incorrect. And we saw that the direction that 8th edition was going with, you know, we're seeing a lot of armies that just take a couple of outriders or vanguards or spearheads, this new way of building where your composition doesn't have to include these things at all. You want to be able to attach some value to those things to make you want to take them again, or to attach some kind of that level of list building construction to your list still. And I think if you, like, remember, say, 5th edition, if you took a war boss on bike, you could take knobs and war bikers as troops. Yeah,
I loved that.
I loved it too. I think it was amazing. But that's kind of what this core thing is, you know. So they, you know, bikers for Marines are core because, you know, theoretically you could if you took an Outrider and you made your army all around an Outrider, they would be the core of that style
you
of
fell
list.
You fell into my trap, though.
Exactly right. But that's the thinking, yeah? Tell us. Go for it.
Well, so, yeah, just what I was thinking is, like, in my mind, in the Marine Force, and even and this goes even if you follow it out to a dreadnought being interned into that sarcophagus, is that they're all Marines. Like every one of them is a Space Marine. They just happen to be doing whatever job on the field. They happen to be wearing that armor, riding that bike, carrying that last cannon. They just almost like coincidentally happen to be doing that because they could do any job in the whole army.
So are you saying, going one step further than that, are you predicting that every single model in the Custodes army will have the core keyword?
I don't know, but see, because that's where we start looking into like what is balance and then what is theme.
It's interesting that you brought up like if you take this, then this becomes like core, because Age of Sigmar is still like that, right? Like if I look at my my Ogre Maw tribes army, if I take certain HQ units or generals, then other units that become battle line. You still do have to take battle line in Age of Sigmar, and it seems to work quite well in Age of Sigmar. But for me, like if we like it's like you said, if you look at it in terms of like a fluffy kind of thing, then it does make sense for those units to become core. But if you make entirely like if you make a system entirely out of what makes sense in the lore, what's the chance of it ending up being a balanced playing system?
It's a great point.
Red, I know we've tried to bait you into the conversation.
I'm not going to say that I sat in the corner on the whole core conversation just because Necrons have like five core units, but
well,
I think if you go back several episodes, over a year from now, when we were talking about the whole core concept, I think it's a very interesting mechanic. I think it has a place. I think it plays in very well in some cases. And it's cool to see them thinking in the way, like with this FAQ, that, okay, if we take core away, what does that mean? What does that do? But then we go back to the Necrons, and I'm like, really? Only five of them get core, but then literally like everything under the sun in Space Marines does. And I know like that it's hard to compare in some ways because it does provide some different traits, character traits here and there. But you would have thought like if they're going to do that, that maybe kind of like what I think they had opportunity, and I'm not meaning to wish list by any means, but when you look at Dark Eldar, right? So they had the homunculus group, the covens, essentially the witch cults and the cabals. Then you look at the Necrons. I think the Necrons had an opportunity that they kind of missed out on to capitalize. They did it a little bit with Canoptic, right? So like they had their core units, then they had Canoptic units. I think they also could have like played far more into the destroyer units for as many that they had, and they really didn't build into that synergy nearly as much as they could have. Whereas Space Marines just, explode across the entire array of units that have core. And so, going into this part where the FAQ and what they did with the Dragoons and the, what was the other one that they took the core
Alistari.
Away from?
Yeah, the Alistari, Iron Striders, I mean, the last can, or the weapon platforms and the Lancers.
Yeah, but we go back to it. I think that honestly, it, in this case, I don't think it really had that much of an impact. And so it's just interesting to see where their head's at in regards of what core means to them. And because I can value core all I want one way or another. But they really like it kind of, especially since they're the ones sitting there writing FAQs, how do they value core? What do they think it means to the game in certain ways?
So taking core from them does remove some amount of the reroll one's ability from them and things that you can layer on them. Mm-hmm. It basically where they could have a whole game's worth of like buffs. You've now gotten them to the three turns worth of buffs instead of five turns.
Right.
By taking them out of the core puzzle. Sorry, Tina.
Can I ask a question? Like, what do you think the core mechanic is supposed to represent in, like, a narrative kind of way of looking at the game? Because the original question was, like, should some units or should some factions have more of it than others? Right?
That's a great question. The way I see core is that if you were to put all the core units I don't want to use the term in the definition. If you were to put the units that have the core attribute on the table together, it would be, I think, representative of maybe what that textbook or narrative army would look like on any given battlefield.
Yeah, look, that's fair. I mean, the core thing has become, it really comes to notice with the viability of units. Like some people will say, oh, Ballistari are dead because they don't have core. And they'll just leave it at that with their thinking, rather than looking for other ways and means to add the efficiencies that they believe they've lost or the reasons that they took that unit in the first place. Like case in point, Ballistari, I've seen and watched and played a bunch of games against, a bunch of games against AdMech now. And like turn two, turn three, they weren't shooting freaking monsters and vehicles anymore. They're all dead, you know? And maybe that takes you one more turn longer now because you aren't perfectly efficient on every level. But that doesn't make that unit bad. Well, Ballistari is the perfect example of that. But in saying that, like, we're talking about the core keyword for stuff like, you know, Eradicators or Retributors. I think they're a good example because they're a fringe unit that you could make a case that, like, they shouldn't have those keywords because they're not, like, a mainstay, you know, like air quotes, battle line. They're not a battle line. They're not a troop. So, you know, why should they have them? You know, you should, maybe, you know, there's a case to say one unit or two units that you take, or the first heavy support slot you take and gets the core keyword. Or maybe we have to make it arbitrary because it feels like there's such a have and have nots. And it's interesting to say that I feel like the have nots is only three books. The vast majority of books have like a perfect swathe of core options. Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel that way? Do you feel like there is a little bit of a have not, but there is far more that have than have not?
So who would you put in the have not category? I'm interested.
Don't worry, Necrons are still there, Red. It's cool.
It's in my mind. It's Necrons and Death Guard.
That's it. Just those two.
Out of the ninth edition codexes so far, I think they are the extremes of the have nots, with Necrons being the most extreme, Death Guard a little bit less or a little bit more. And then for my mind, like, a plentiful amount. Same goes for AdMech and all the Space Marines and Space Marine supplements. Is there a faction I've missed, Red, do you think?
Out of the ninth edition ones? What did you say about Space Wolves?
Oh, no, I think all the Space Marines options, generally, all the Space Marines and the supplements generally have a good array because they come from a codex that has more than anybody else. So, sure. You know, by default, the supplements generally have a good amount. And I think it's pretty much all of them, barring the two I just mentioned, Necrons and Death Guard. Death Guard, not nearly as bad. It's mostly just because they only have like two troop choices and one of them isn't core.
Yeah, that makes that an issue. Hawkswalker balance. It's like a balance within a balance they're trying to maintain.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the restrictions that they've got. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to get possibly something similar for T-Suns with, you know, Rubrics and Zangors, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't. And, you know, I don't want to speculate too much, but
yeah. So that's kind of where I was going, thinking of, I think that if Death Guard or any kind of indicator, I was concerned T-Suns were going to be the next ones on the line.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, what do you think about that statement, though, that there is a bit of a cliff between the haves and have-nots?
It does seem like the importance of the core, either because of auras or targets for stratagems, is a defining element in codexes.
Yeah, I think it's a synergy piece that if the codex isn't making up for it in some other ways, I do think it is more difficult because core is a fundamentally, you know, it's a basic rule that's built in, and for a codex to take advantage of it, it's much easier for a player to really tap into, whereas you might have to work a little harder for a codex that doesn't. I'm not saying that that's necessarily, you know, a solid causational relationship there, but I do think that there's a lot of correlation there.
With all this being said, and I don't want to take us too far off the, I think this is a great discussion about what is core and why is core. But nobody's AdMech list is changing, I don't think.
No, not really. And if we wanted to talk about how good we think the FAQ was for fixing people's grievances, I think it was very even-handed. I think it was more restrained than we've seen GW at numerous times in the last couple of years. And it did address a couple of the biggest issues people had, but I don't think it has stopped the unstoppable, you know, I don't think it stopped the train. The train pulled into the station. It's off again. It's back at max speed.
I mentioned, you know, a little bit of this in when I was talking about the thing is that it has reduced the layers you can stack on things. It's no longer like, oh, well, see, you thought I was out of tricks, but I got this one more trick and it goes through the whole game. And so you just don't gain any traction on them. I think it did a lot to I think the FAQ was meaningful. But what I really like about it is that, like, I think, like you said, kind of even-handed, is it doesn't invalidate anybody's modeling choices or in time investment that they have put into the figures. They will simply be now more enjoyable to play against.
I would like to say, what did Dragoons do that offended J-Dub so much? Why? Why do this?
You just
them?
Talked about him too much. You're like, perpetual motion? That's got to get hit with the same nerf.
But it makes sense. I mean, it would be really wonky. I think you said this in the pre-show. It would be really wonky to have Iron Striders lose the keyword, but not have Dragoons. But I just feel bad for Dragoons.
So this is a question for everybody. Is it, I mean, when something like this happens, do you then, like, do Cerberus Raiders become more desirable, which they're already desirable? It's probably a poor example. What's the flying ones?
The Taraxi.
Yeah, the Taraxi, did they become more desirable? Do the Sakaaran Infiltrators and Rustalkers become more desirable because they have the core keyword?
Honestly, nobody plays AdMech in my area, so I don't have any experience to answer this question.
Everyone's moving to where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. All the AdMech players are rubbing their hands together.
AdMech allowed. You see where
put
you
the
are.
Sign up on the main drive into town. but we don't want to build any stigma around AdMech players if you play AdMech.
I'm a player. I play AdMech.
Yeah, Paul. You know. And we shouldn't do that as a community. We shouldn't demonize people who play what they want to play. It's their game just as much as
I don't even fault people for taking that value. And about like how to find the value in codexes. I mean, just sometimes it's a lot more obvious than others. Yeah,
but for what you said, I think this is a bit of a goalpost shifting moment for AdMech. I do. So my concerns currently are mostly around the Book of Fire and the power that we've yet to see really make an impact that is in there. And it is significant. It's significant, guys. If you're a budding competitive player or you're somebody who likes to stay ahead and know what you're in for, jump on top of that. You're going to be seeing a lot of it prevalently. And you're absolutely right, Paul. It's going to really shift the goalposts in what I think was I hate to use the term Tau, but it was more of a defensive shooting castle. And it's going to spread them out a bit more, make them take more of a diverse element of choices, which I think is good. I mean, you and I, we commented on some stuff on the Thursday show. There's a gentleman who took 140 Skitarii infantry and all Rangers in Vanguard. And we were just like, how does this guy lose? That same army isn't that good anymore. Well, it's not as good as it was. So that same guy might be like, well, you know, I guess I'm taking more of this stuff, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah.
So he's playing the fringe anyway. He's trying to wring out all the value out of whatever this is. And has probably very little consideration for theme, probably has very little consideration for the how the game is going to play past winning the turn, you know, winning the rounds or whatever, which is fine. Though I think those fringe lists where that is the only consideration, they may change because that goalpost has shifted in that one specific category.
And if AdMech players who are playing the most optimum thing before just have to take another one or two, you know, less optimal, less perfect choices in their army, that's kind of good enough for me. That means I think this FAQ probably gets a pass. So I still don't think it takes them off the top of the mountain. I still think they're well and truly the best faction in the game, though.
I actually think they're incredibly powerful. There's so many tools in the book. The same way that I think we actually did talk about this on the other show, is that there's depth in the Adeptus Auritas, there's a depth in the Drukhari, and there's an extreme amount of depth in the AdMech that not everyone has experienced yet because the top layer of prefac was so accessible. There's a lot to be discovered. And you know, going to this Book of Fire, you know, with the Army of Renown in there, potentially impacting some of these units we were just talking about. Not because they have the core keyword, just because they are now on the menu, whereas you might have felt less optimal taking them before.
Yeah, totally agree. But I think there's a huge swathe. The same as I think there's in Drakkari and in Sisters, there's a huge swathe of options that reside just under the best stuff that I want to get those best stuff nerfed a little bit like this just had, just so we see all that huge band of diversity just opens up for everybody. And everything, I think, becomes a lot more exciting.
For Pete's sake, let's sprinkle a little bit more core into Necrons.
Yeah, I agree.
Red, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you, if you could put core on two units that aren't right now, what would they be?
Locust Destroyers.
Good call.
Which is, I know that's like a big push, because like I'd argue, you know, some people might think that they don't really fit in there, but I think that would be awesome. I mean, really push them into the next point. And then the next one would flayed ones.
Very good call as well. Yeah. And when you think about those and conceptualize what they are, what they translate as to other armies, that is your, you know, Plasma Inceptors, your Eradicators, your Repentia, your, you know, your Zephyrum for other armies. And all those ones, those four things I just reeled off, all have core.
Yep, they sure do.
Tanya, I know you come at building lists a little bit differently than maybe the, like, you're not trying. I don't get the sense that you try to just wring out every bit of efficiency. Does this concept of core and the layers of buffs, how much does it factor into your list making and your modeling choices?
I'm going to level with you. For like 2.5 years, I played nothing but Guard. So I just got my first codex that has core.
Which one?
Orcs.
Awesome.
Yeah. So like I literally just made my first list, like my first concept that I even had to take core into consideration.
How'd it go? And was it a big deal? Was it a big, you know, deal breaker for you for some units or not?
No, because most of the units that I wanted have core.
Great when it works out that way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
how's that feel, Red?
Must codec, be nice. Must
honestly,
be nice.
Honestly, like basically any infantry has core in the orcs. Mm. And like, really feel like, is it like that in the Necron book, Red?
No, sure isn't. When you're sitting there looking at, I know when you're looking at flayed ones, you're like, how are these things that essentially you can tell they would benefit so much from a little bit more synergy, and the fact that they don't, it just blows my mind.
Gotta get the Silent King to get your little robots act together.
Well, yeah, mate, really. You know, one of the reasons that the Silent King dropped off hellaciously was there's too many chickens. He's not a chicken fan. Doesn't like it. He's not the Colonel's favorite customer. you know, with things like the Bellastari, maybe we see a lot less of them. You know, hopefully that enables some of these more big centerpiece units to come back into the fore. Mind you, though, the chickens were a very good meta for Catan. Like a single Catan, you're like, one of your chickens gets value. The rest of them wasted.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Don't get me wrong. There are some other strengths. I mean, even at the Lone Star Open, you know, a Necron player took fourth.
Dude.
So I'm not sitting here saying that's, you know, the Necron Codex isn't going to be there. You know, we talked about the shelf between the two or between Necrons and Death Guard and everybody else. I do think that Necrons can be played well and that they have some strengths that you can really get into. You just have to get there with it.
I think they do have to, like in some of these codexes that we've talked about, they've got to walk a narrower line with their army list choices. But yeah, they can still do well and never discount the player of the list. That's for sure. And I know I'm just kind of poking you, Red, and other than the fact that it's a great, it helps fuel this core discussion very well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, sure does.
When you get to where Necron's at, all right, you can't kind of fluff around with your army list, so to speak. I think that's what I'm kind of, I don't know if this is a term that's going to get picked up, and hopefully it doesn't. But yeah, people kind of have some fluff in their list. And by fluff, I mean some unoptimal choices that are there for a specific reason apart from
theme,
you know, something desired.
Personal
preference.
Exactly.
Well, in Paul, in your list, it might be the Castellan robots. People would look at those and be like, oh, they're not as good as XYZ. Why do you take those? And Paul's just like, I like them. They do what I want them to do. And I feel like Necrons, they're not quite at that level. They're like, that's not a good enough reason almost, which it sucks. But you got to just take the best in slot, the thing that's best for the job that you need to get done.
Yeah. Look, and play the stats, not the unit kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's still up to you to decide what those jobs are. You know, you still have to use your skill, your nuance to figure out what those jobs are.
And then play the game, make your secondary.
Yeah, exactly. I was lucky enough to call a couple of the games of that Necron player. He played phenomenally well, and he had a very well-crafted list. Like, he crafted his list knowing he'd be able to place terrain in a certain, you know, for that, because that was one of the rules of this event. You had player place terrain. So he took a much more melee-centric unit, army, knowing that he could place terrain in such a way he could leapfrog from terrain to terrain and get aggressive and things like that. And worked out phenomenally for him. So it worked out really, really, really well. If anybody trying to figure out how to play Necrons at the moment, go and watch that. Especially, he had one single Transcendent Catan, and literally I called it a masterclass of how that guy used a single Catan. man. He wielded it exceptionally
just with
well.
His movement and using terrain and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, and using it as a pressure piece that you can't get rid of in one phase in one turn. So if you put it over onto a weak flank where they don't have, you know, a Psyker and a both good melee and a good shooting unit, it can just dominate a flank by itself.
I really liked that event and how it played out with some of the things. Now, look, you know, you look at it, you look at some of the players and you know, you kind of have an expectations of who's going to do well. But, you know, this was really a study, I think, in people crafting lists for an event, for the situations that occurred in the events. And the way they did it, I think, was very well. So it was cool to see how it played out that way. And I think that's how we should all approach those type of competitive events, really diagnosing what is good on that day and then bringing in and executing well.
Yeah, possibly a good segue topic. I maybe want to do this after a break, Paul. But, I mean, we talk about, and I think I've mentioned this or harped on about this a lot, especially at the start of 8th edition. Well, kind of the first couple of episodes on this show, I used to harp on about it's really important in this day and age that you play a whole faction and not just one list. You know, not just one 2,000-point list of that faction. And I feel like what we're talking about with the core keyword and in army construction at the moment, it's even more important. And what you just mentioned then, he tailored a whole list for an event. So he has a big enough, you know, collection that he's able to just go, okay, this is going to be optimal here. This is going to be optimal here. That one's not going to be. So maybe that's something else we want to talk about.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get a word from our sponsors, come back, and then do the rest of the show.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
And we are back. I still got everybody here. Thanks for joining us. It's been a lively discussion.
Yeah. Doesn't take much for us to get going. We don't need a lot.
Well, let's go back to, you know, to Tanya's point is that the orcs, you know, and I haven't looked through and checked out all the core slots, but I kind of think an orc just wakes up in the morning and is just an orc, and maybe he drives the truck and maybe he shoots the zap gun. And
what if, Paul, he was completely reprogrammable by a leader robot that could just tell him anything that he wants him to do?
I think they're just willfully not being core, trying to
make that's what it is
for what they did.
Okay. I'm sorry. I will get off my pillar of salt that I'm sitting on.
I'm telling you, just get your act together as the whatever the Necron tier, whatever they were, you know, find the old one that you really irritate, you know, really had a axe to grind with, make amends, and then everything can be right with your
Yeah. Are you suggesting that the lack of core keyword is the Necrons paying penance for what they did during the War in the Stars?
They're in timeout.
That's rough.
God.
They got to sit on the second step for as many minutes as how old they are.
So what's going to happen to Chaos Space Marines for their really. Penance for the heresy?
No, see, they're rebels.
They get away with it.
Aren't they the good guys?
Oh.
Yeah, they are. I agree.
Depends on which Dark Angel you ask.
They're all good guys.
Hey, after you guys, I gave a glowing review of the first Heretic. I finally managed to track this book down. And I started reading it last night. So I'm about 100 pages in, and it's really good.
Argyltal is babe.
He's your favorite?
Yeah, and how reasonable they make Khan sound. I love it. You start reading about him and you're like, this guy sounds like a reasonable man. And then you read about any of his 40k fluff, you're like, oh dear God, something changed.
I don't think he's in the first Heretic. Is he in the first Heretic? I don't think he is.
He is.
Okay.
He is, yeah.
Okay.
No spoilers, y'all.
It's been so long since I've been to that one. But
I'm bad for
I'm glad you're enjoying it because that series just gets better. I mean, the whole horror, I mean, it's a lot of books, but it gets better and better and better the whole way through.
Okay. Well, this one's super good. So.
Not a spoiler, Tanya, but Karn survives. Just saying.
I don't think that's really a spoiler, but you know.
I was just making sure. Just making sure. If you were worried, he makes it.
I know there was a bunch of stuff we wanted to talk about on the show, but you know, we started talking about a list design and things that we didn't necessarily expect to do well. And you just mentioned Khorne, so I feel like we can mention like Lord of Skulls actually had a decent showing this past weekend.
It wasn't just one. It was two.
Well, so let me, the reason I'm mentioning it is because there's a lot of chatter. I think if you were just to look at some comments or maybe some anecdotal evidence, is that the big models just simply can't exist right now because of things like Iron Striders and that kind of stuff. But it seems like maybe they can.
Well, I certainly think they can. I mean, I do think there is a lot of pressure on you to play perfectly with these big models just because of how many points they are. But that's always been there. That's always been there. If you took the only time that wasn't there was the Castellan, because you paid, you just however many CP I needed to make this thing not fail me.
That's it. Yeah. What do I need to do? What do I need to throw on the table right now to
exactly right
to remove all these models?
But you know, if you want to play Knights at the moment, you got to play some pretty perfect 40k. But in saying that, if you can, you have a great chance into a huge swathe of armies. And maybe they're another one that's getting like a backhanded buff by the dint of like the Ballistari possibly declining a little bit.
Yeah. Well, again, it's that extra couple of rounds. I think that they're not going to benefit from some of those rerolls if you wanted them to. That I don't think it's going to make all the difference, but I think that those rounds where they would have been firing it above full capacity, they're going to be basically relying on their 3+. So they're still going to hit a lot, but they're not going to be as reliable. And I think it's going to make some of those models live longer. Have you looked at the Gorkonaut and Morkonaut and Stompa?
I have. I'm not taking them in my list that I have started crafting, but they look awesome. And on top of that, you can also make them faster, which was always
because,
sort of like a...
Is it because they're also core?
A core Lord of War. That's a new... That's
they
a new
look game. Mighty core to me.
Let's you reach. Yeah.
When I think of what is representative of an orc army, I do think they should have Stompas and Gargants.
Yeah, but I mean, I liked them in the old codex. I think that they really just got better in the new ones. I mean, Lord of War kind of stinks, but it is what it is. But yeah, they're slightly better, and I really like that you can give them the custom job to make them actually be able to move a decent amount of inches.
There's a fair few. There's one that also gives them +1 to hit in combat as well. Like jump, they get pretty slappy when they get to that level. And it's just really funny that upon release, everyone was like, oh, yay. You know, orcs get knights, and it's taken them literally two editions to make them like a knight equivalent.
I still think we're going to see like orcs are another one of those things. I think we're going to see some big models hitting the table, the kill rigs and that kind of stuff. And, and any, if you can slow down this, or make this assault of, but I think all last cannon should be the damage capacity of these things. I think a D6 damage just does not get the job done. And it relegates a lot of these weapons to the backfield or the back burner. Cause you're always going to have your heavy weapons, long range weapons in the backfield. I mean, you're not going to take some of these things if they continue to be D6. I think these D3+3s actually makes them incredibly playable. And then maybe toning down a little bit of the buffs that could go on them, make them reasonable. That way they're powerful, but not too powerful. And they can keep some of these things in check, but not make it oppressive.
It's interesting to me how, in the same range as core keywords, it's interesting to me how liberal and unliberal they are with some of these profiles. Like, I think I pointed out in a previous episode how it's obvious that there's been a bit of a possibly a gap in design in 9th edition codexes, because it's just because of the D3+3s. Like you have Space Marine Laz Cannons, which are D6, and then you have AdMech Laz Cannons, D3+3. You have even have Drakari equivalent Laz Cannons in the Dark Lances being D3+3. And yet you have a Doomsday Cannon for Necrons being D6 still. But then they got the Entropic Lance that's D3+3. So it's kind of a weird thing to wrap my head around.
Well, if everything's pointed appropriately, you know, it all shakes out. But
oh, true, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm looking, and I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that there's a way you could have different profiles and stuff. But I think to have to even make them really effective, takeable in a competitive setting, and reliable. Like when you fire this thing, you want it to have an effect. And with the way that it was going through the roll to hit, going through the roll to wound, going through the armor save, going through the damage roll, the outcome of your what is supposed to be this super weapon is minimal. So I love the D3+3. And I will say I'm not really bothered by the fact that I don't have this extra layer of buffs, because I think the stats of these things are still very viable. And I'm not trying to like evangelize
bosses, you know, people who want to optimize.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't it funny? Yeah, we had a las cannon and a plasma gun. Didn't cost, for some armies cost almost the same amount of points. For guard, they weren't too dissimilar. Well, sorry, a melter gun or a plasma gun is a better example. Apologies. And one of them was, you know, D6 damage. The other one was 2 damage. But the other one had 2 shots at 2 damage, and that 2 shots at 2 damage was better than 1 shot at D6, hands down, every single time. It wasn't even close. And I think that the change that they made was the best change possible to make those profiles more relevant. I'm hoping we only see more of this, more profiles become more relevant, because there's still a bunch of like weapons that are languishing.
I want the weapons to give you the outcome of what it looks like. Like if they're holding a big old gnarly thing, and it should give you a gnarly effect. Now you got the other. What's noisy crickets from Men in Black? You know, I'm not saying you can't have those too, but I'm saying that, you know, we in 40K, nothing can be too big. And when it is big, I want to see something happen from it.
Is it an Inferno pistol? Is the closest thing we got
to noisy crickets?
Yeah,
that may be it.
Probably a relic.
No. So the what is it? The tech priest or Dominus or whatever has the pistol that does mortal wounds.
The Serpenta, Volkrat Serpenta, I think.
That may be it. He basically sees he's walking around on his cane, and then if you get close, he will absolutely cap you.
Love it.
Yeah, the Volcane Blaster.
I don't know if you wanted to go down this rabbit hole of the core keyword in relation to like a real life army structure, but I'd be interested to hear if there is something Red's got to add to that. You know, is this something that is incorporated in real life military?
I mean, yeah, I think when you take it something like that and you look at kind of where they're going with it, that's where, to a point, when you look at the Space Marines, you kind of get it because of the way that they train and they go through. And I haven't seen too much about the Primaris Marines to be able to speak at this certain regard. But, you know, the firstborn approach was that they started as scouts, and then they went and they became, typically by the Codex, they became devastators. And then they were assault Marines, and then they became tactical Marines, right? And then, you know, you could progress into the veteran ranks from there. And you kind of see how the core development goes through that whole process. At least I think that it relates. And you can see where, okay, I've done this job, I have this experience, I can, you know, you get a leader or something like that. And it's kind of, you know, when you consider Space Marines, they do have this hierarchical rank structure and everything, that it makes a lot of sense, in my opinion. However, when you start getting into some of the other aspects, there is a part where, when it comes to special forces or something like that, that you could see where that they are elite and unique enough that what core does for them isn't necessary. And so I kind of expected there to be, as core was being rolled out, something like that, like a trade-off between units. Okay, it's so good, it doesn't need to be core to certain regards, because it's just that, right? And then you could see some changes where maybe some advantages or capabilities, maybe they had the ability to link in and benefit from those commanding units. And I'd say we have that. I mean, when you consider some of these, so take a formation that trains together, right, in the real army, and then you have some of these attachments, and if they don't train with you consistently, they're just not on the same kind of level. And I'm not saying that they're not as good or they're worse or whatever. They just don't have that same synergy that the unit that has trained consistently together. And I kind of think that's where another way that you could really see how core is applied, and kind of how I saw it. That's not always the case, quite clearly. But that, I think that's kind of how I saw it playing out from real life, if you wanted to try and take that mechanic out of the game and relate it to something and you know, how we go about things, I guess.
So in order to make the game fit that a little bit better, I think that it would have to act more like Age of Sigmar. If you take this type of HQ unit, then these units gain core, right? Like thinking about the Astra Militarum Codex, the way that you describe it, if infantry squads have core, then unless you take a Tempestor Prime as your warlord, then all of the Scion stuff in that detachment should not get core, if that makes sense.
Yeah, something along those lines, right? Because that's kind of, it's showing these core was to show this kind of synergistic effect. And I mean, really, when you go back to that article where they were introducing the concept of core, it was all about, you know, okay, the ability for the leader to influence certain units because of this or that. And we're not really seeing that. Like that logic doesn't track when you suddenly see that all of the units or the majority of the units all have core to whatever extent. And that's where I kind of thought, you know, like the Necrons with the canoptic units, I thought we were going to see more, okay, instead of core, it was going to be, so take like Deathwing, like instead of core being affecting all of them, like there were going to be more Deathwing buffs, related buffs, kind of. I thought that Space Marines were going to be something of an exception, I guess. A silly assumption on my part, I know. But I thought that the Necrons were kind of the demonstration of what core looked like at the for the general army, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be selective. I thought it was going to be, well, as soon as I saw Necrons, I'm like, oh, yeah, I see what they're doing. They're like, this is the way for making people want to take troops, you know, rather than just playing Vanguards and Outriders. And then I saw Space Marines. I'm like, now I have no idea. Fair.
Well, we solved the problem, or we solved the puzzle around that earlier.
Yes, we did.
Because they're in timeout.
They're in timeout. Exactly.
I like what y'all were saying, though, is that core becomes less of a force organizational slot concept and more of a assignable trait because of the leadership structure or the theme of the army or whatever.
Yeah.
I could be down with that. That'd be cool to think about.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of great ways to go with it, I think, honestly.
Mm. I would have liked to have seen – I want to see more of the 5th edition stuff come in. Like, no, you don't have core until you, you know, tick X, Y, Z box, and then your bikers get core. Like, you take your – you know, Beast Snagger boys are a great example. Well, the Beast Hog Rider boys, you take the White Orc or, you know, his equivalent on the Red Orc, but, you know, the Warboss on Dino Squig. And they become core. I want to see, and that's what I was getting at right at the start, like an hour ago at the start of this. I want to see that more come into it, even though I get it. Like, 9th edition is already a lot of bookkeeping. It's already a lot of things to juggle and keep in your head. But at least if this was true, this would be something you could just build into your list. You just have it on your list. Everyone can see it at the start.
Yeah,
of
you
game.
Already make choices to be before the game starts.
Yeah. I love that stuff about editions gone past. Like, you know, take Tempesta Prime as your only HQ choices, even in your Guard army, and your Scions are still core. You know, stuff like that, Tanya, would be cool. Or Tank Commanders and Lehman Russes.
Oh, yeah.
Let me also just caveat this. We are like full on in wishlist mode. We're completely
I'm up to my neck. Yeah. Up to my neck, guys.
Yeah, nothing factual about what we're saying. Just simply discuss. Sorry. Yeah, marinating on the concept of core and you know, on the back of the IDMEC FAQ of a couple of key units, one key unit and one casualty unit losing the core keyword.
But yeah, what I'm interested with the core stuff, I'm really interested to know with how they go with more of the elite armies. Stuff like Custodes and Knights, things of those ilk, like where does core go with their Grey Knights as well? Actually, Grey Knights and T-Sons will show us a lot as well, because that's another, you know, small model range faction. They don't have a huge swathe of model options, unit options. So it's interesting to see if that's going to be a definitive thing as well, because that might be the issue with Necrons. Even though, like, you know, the Indominus box gave them like, you know, a third more of their line, they still don't have anywhere near as many unit options as a lot of other factions. So maybe core is a percentage of faction, and then if that's the case, it only doesn't make sense for Space Marines.
I say the Marines still break,
Marines still break the out of that theory.
That's okay though. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Marines, and it's, I don't think it's come up to where anyone feels like it's egregious.
Red?
You think so? When every dreadnought that comes out, you're like, are these dreadnoughts going to be core? Okay. All right, cool.
It's a regular Marine.
Well, this just means your faction should get some dreadnoughts, Red. That's your fault.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong.
So it would be a robot inside of a robot.
I feel like, the whole race, the entire race is just dreadnoughts.
But... yeah.
Those destroyers are pretty beef.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, how good would that be? It was just like a
destroyer inside a destroyer. Yep. Inside an arc or something.
Yeah. Like, they could really make it... I mean, well, so the closest thing you got to Dreadnoughts would be, like, the Forge World centipede things, yeah? What are they called?
I mean, like, the Stalkers, kind of. Like,
you I'm taking this well down the beaten track now, so let's not go there.
We're the Necrons. I mean, they again look, they just got fourth in a major tournament, so you know, we're only giving them so much flack here, but we're talking about this whole concept of core. And yeah, we did pin it off the FAQ, and what does it even matter, and then what does it matter to armies, and then like what does it matter to the edition. I don't know that we've solved any of that, but it's been fun to talk about.
It has been fun. Great discussion.
I don't know how long this is going to come out in the end, but it may be a little bit shorter show. We're recording on an off day today. So I really want to thank everyone on the show and your flexibility for doing that. Taking time out of your weekend, as we revealed, this is after the FAQ is dropped. So this is on an off night for our recording, but this has been a great talk. Before we wrap, anybody working on any hobby stuff? Well, what's on your painting desk? What's on your next tournament list that you're working on?
I am working on 17 Store Boys.
Nice. 17 yeah. Specifically, or you already got three done?
No. I was given a box of goodies from my boss, and in it was 17 Storm Boys. So nice. I was like, I'll just paint all of them at once.
Providence has decreed you shall never run 18.
Get you a Zach Struck or whichever, and there you go. Adam, Red, what y'all working on anything right now?
I moved house about a month ago, and I've been very lazy and have not set up my painting station. I've got one more Eradicator out of six to build, but I don't think I'm going to be using them. I've been thinking about them as they've been sitting here. I think I'm going to take a break from Marines, and I might paint some Knights. I've got three unbuilt, brand new in box Knights that I've had sitting there for over a year, and I just feel like just going to paint some big stompy boys and take a break for a bit.
That's nice. You can get real creative with those. All the panels and armor panels and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I want to do some marbled panels. I want to do some flat white panels. I've got some beautiful... I'm going to use the Custody transfer sheet on them as well. And so I want to do some nice, beautiful white panels with some beautiful gold transfers on it. Got a lot of plans. We'll see how many come to fruition. Nice. Probably two.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm still staring down the barrel of a lot of these Rangers and stuff to get them all done, and then bouncing back and forth between some death card stuff. So that's on my desk, and I've been taking little breaks, doing little one-off little things here and there. But I gotta motivate myself to get on the horse with some of these stuff, or else these long coats don't paint themselves. Red, you doing anything right now?
I have about 70 bases in front of me right now that I have to pin these models into. And that is, we've talked a lot about, you know, planning and whatnot. And so I just have to make sure that I don't, you know, I appropriately pace myself and don't burn myself out doing this. I'm really looking forward to it, because once I get these models on, I can get a lot more work done.
You feel like you've like really accomplished a big chunk of the work.
Yeah. Once I can do that, it will be quite the accomplishment for me.
Wonderful, man.
Thank you. Well, again, thanks y'all for taking the time. Thank y'all for listening. Please do not forget to like, share, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews anywhere you can. Leave comments on YouTube. I've actually, there should be a couple of videos going up at once on the YouTube. You find us there, because it didn't make it up. It's gonna make it up this time, though, I'm sure. We really appreciate the interaction. It's one of those ways that other people can see and also interact with us, and helps spread the show. Thank you all for listening.
Love you. Love your work, guys.
Sweet. Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
See y'all next week.
Horseback scan is clear. I think they're gone. For now.